This is the Planetary Potential Podcast. For those who are eager to explore entrepreneurship, innovation, and cross-cultural communication in exciting and interesting places around the world. And now, here's your host, Andrew P. Rowan.
Welcome to episode 12 of season 1. How do you start a brand from scratch? This week, I sit down with Ileana Tapia, founder and director of Sicurezza. In our interview, Ileana talks about how she started her entrepreneurial journey after thinking she'd be on a corporate track, how she sold her first products, and the challenges of sourcing from China. An important reminder that opinions shared in this episode are those of individual guests. For more information, please visit www.andrewprowan.com/disclosures. Ileana and I also discuss the value of input from family and friends when making difficult decisions, as well as future expansion plans for Sicurezza. Let's get started. With me is Ileana Tapia. She is founder and director of Sicurezza, which is a fashion brand here in Peru. We are at their office in Lima. And thank you for joining us, Ileana.
Okay, thank you very much for the time and the interview.
So I had the pleasure of spending 2 days last month at Universidad del Pacífico, and that is where the Lima FinTech Forum was. I understand that you also have a special connection to that university.
Yeah, I studied there business administration when I started the university when I was 2010, and I finished the university 2015, and then I have been incubated in Emprendupe, that is like incubation center of the university, with Sicurezza.
Cool. So can you talk a bit about that process? Like, how did you enter the Emprendupe incubator? How long was it? And then what do you think was the most valuable part of being part of that experience?
Excellent. Well, when I finished my university, I didn't know that I will be an entrepreneur. Like, my dream was to be a corporate employee. I don't know why. But when I was when I finished my university, I started Sicurezza. And, I don't know, 6 months later or 8 months later, I had the opportunity to have my first interview in one of the best magazines in Lima. It's Gestión. So, I don't know, 1 month later of this interview, that my university called me and Brenda called me, so they told me that they have this program that I didn't know they have, that was Emprendupe, that they helps you, they give you mentoring, advisory, and all that stuff, so you can grow your startup, and they help you, but you have to pass a process so they can select your startup, nobody can enter.
Okay, so to clarify, you had already started Sicurezza.
Yeah.
And you had received some press interest. So you were profiled in a magazine.
Yeah.
Somebody from Emprendupe, which is at Universidad del Pacífico, saw it and they reached out to you. So this is after you graduated, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
1 year later.
Oh, an entire year later. Okay, so you started Sicurezza in
April.
In 2015.
Yes. And in January of 2016, they called me.
Interesting. Okay, so let's come back to this. I want to focus a bit more right now on how you started Sicurezza. Because I know that you had some experience, for example, at Motorola and at Siemens. And so you were definitely on that corporate track that you had mentioned. But then something must have changed, right? Or you must have gotten some inspiration somehow. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, everything started because I went to the Netherlands to have a exchange program. And when I returned to Lima, I have only 1 year left my university. And in that period, when I returned, I buy a product, was Invisible Bra, it's here. And was a very comfortable product to use backless dresses. And when I bought it, for me, in internet, I saw it. And it came to Lima, and I was using it and I loved it. So I started using every weekend so I can use every clothes. And 4 months later, this was October and January of 2015, I don't know who told me, Ileana, why don't you sell these? These are amazing and you don't find it here in Lima. And I was, I don't want to sell anything. I hate selling things. So I said, no, maybe you can sell it, so buy it here and if you want. But nobody has like a risk to make it. I don't know. I and all my friends that have the opportunity to buy this and sell it, nobody wants it because, I don't know, they were scared that nobody wanted to buy it. But it was a great product. So I don't know what happens. So I take the decision, okay, I want to buy 70 or 50, I don't remember exactly. So I can bring it to Lima. And I don't know, maybe 50 women want to buy it and try it. I don't know, maybe they want to feel what I am feeling. What's amazing. And my father lent me the money so I can buy it. What, 70? 70 invisible breath. And I don't know, what's a period like of 2 months so the product can get Lima from China. I was risking the supplier because I wasn't buying the same of what I bought before.
So you were buying direct then?
Yeah, direct.
Okay, yeah. So previously when you were in the Netherlands, you had bought from a retail store.
Exactly.
And then when you were going to buy in bulk, of course, it didn't make sense to buy
from retail. I started looking some suppliers, prices, qualities, and I risk. I buy something like 20 here, 50 here, and 3 suppliers, different suppliers, so I can test quality, but I want to sell it all. And in that period of 2 months, I was looking for work. I wanted to work in Siemens, so I was like passing all the interviews, all the process, that I don't know, all the opportunities to work in that company. Why? I don't know. I didn't love technology. I didn't love machines. I hate that. I don't know what happened for me. That's what, when I traveled to Germany, everything was Siemens, in Munich, Siemens. So I say, well, it's a great company, like an international company. I have to work here. I don't know what happened. So when I returned Lima in that period, I only want to enter Siemens. So in January, February, I was like taking interviews. So I get that last interview and I get in Siemens. I was there, and I entered like a internship.
Yeah.
But in that moment, that my products were like coming from China, like in that,
okay,
that period.
So you're doing essentially two things in parallel, right? One is following this track, passing these interviews at Siemens, and then also you were sourcing your products from China.
Exactly. And first instance, I only wanted to buy that 70 product and sell it again, and that's it. No more.
So you just wanted to try it one time?
One time. I don't know what happened in my mind. But in that moment, I only wanted that. And I was scared. I don't know what happened for me. And I think in these 2 months, if I don't create like a packaging or I don't create like a brand, and it will be only a product. And if I don't know, if it's like successful, maybe they don't remember what product was. So I started like, okay, I have to take a brand. So I want to sell it. I have a Facebook page, so it's easier to sell it.
So that was the first thing you did, was the Facebook
page.
Yeah,
I have to look at name, but my name, I don't want to have a brand. It was like so crazy for me, like so strange. And I said, how I feel with my invisible bra, and I feel safe. I feel secure with myself because I dance, I use whatever I need, and it was tasted all the time. And it was amazing, and so a perfect support. So I feel secure, so I was looking that word in internet, in Google, and I find Sicurezza and other two names more. I make a focus group with my friends, and I ask them, what name do you want for this brand, an underwear brand of bras that we will be safe and that stuff. And they love it, Sicurezza. All my friends say me Sicurezza. This no, only Sicurezza. And I started like that, so one friend helped me with my logo. I created my Facebook page, and when my products came in Lima, like in 2 weeks later, I have my packaging, my logo, and my fan page, and in 2 days, I sell everything.
Okay, so you sold, you didn't pre-sell. You sold only once you had the product in hand.
Yeah, only when I have a hand. But yeah, I was saying to my friends or people that they are coming, only my personal friends, but knowing Facebook.
But this invisible bra is something new, or at the time it was something new.
Yeah, very new.
So how did you communicate the advantages of using this product for people, frankly, for women who had never understood this before?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because before the invisible bra, we had that silicone natural bra that is like this, but it's like, it's more heavier, and it's like, it's not thin, it's more like this. So when you use it, it can fall down and you feel uncomfortable, but it was the only product that you can use when you wanted to feel like that. So when you move this, when only looking, you looked at the thing, it's not heavy, and it's with cotton in this side, so it's invisible. It's not silicone, but it's transparent. So only in the eyes, you say, oh, this is amazing. So when you think in that bad experience of with a natural brand, you feel this, you say, okay, I want to try it right now. So that's the reason in only 2 days, that's a 70 brand,
But this product, this invisible bra, it has a certain lifespan, right?
Yeah,
you can only use it a certain amount of times.
Yeah, exactly. You can use it 15 to 20 times.
15 to 20 times, right.
So when you finish, you have a great experience, you buy it again and again and again. So we started like that. And in 8 months, I have my first interview in gestión, that I was saying, that I with only one product, an innovative product that exists in the world, but nobody was like looking, this is that what you need, friend. So we started like that with this in only 2 colors, only 4 sizes. And we have our first interview, and Emprendupe called me. It was so fast, and I entered Emprendupe with 10 difficult steps to go in. But yeah, I was alone. I didn't have any partners. So when Emprendupe helped me, I'm very grateful, because they opened my mind. I was looking, okay, I only want to sell these products, and I want to work in Siemens and on other companies. But they told me, Ileana, like, you can make this empire. You can make an underwear brand.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, Andrew here. First, if you're enjoying this episode, then please take the time to leave a review or a rating or share it on social media. I'm also available via email if you have some feedback that you would like to share. Thank you. And we're back, so let's pick up where we left off.
The reason why I asked about female mentors or female partners who helped is because although this product is for half the population, it's for your half of the population, not mine. And so I'm curious if men would understand it as innately the benefits as women. For example, the question that I had before about how do you communicate the benefits of this product to women when this product hasn't existed before. Well, like you said, if you already have some use in a type of product like this, then it's obvious what the benefits are. It's not obvious for somebody like me.
I like you. I like very much your comment, because, I don't know, women, can help very much because they use it. So they can know it's better, it fits great, it's not good quality. I don't use this, I will use it. They can help you in that part, in the customer insights maybe. But in business, we're talking about business. When the male knows that it's a great product because their wife, their sister, I don't know, their daughter use this, and they're telling, I love it, it's comfortable. Male, in business, okay, it's a great product, Ileana. You have a great purpose, because we are focusing in only comfortable things, not sexy, not, it's beautiful too, but it's not that the our priority. So we have to make business. So they help me to make more sales channels, growing categories, and help me in how to be a great leader, how to have a team to make, I don't know, like, male can help in other things, not necessarily in what product I have to launch. That's, I think, a woman thing. But in other things, men have helped me very much. In Emprendupe, all the 3 bosses were male, and they, you have to talk with them. Okay, thank you. And I talk with them. They connect me.
So they're helpful in terms of making introductions.
In business things, not only in product things. Yeah, because in product, they don't understand. They don't feel this. They don't know what happened when it fall down. They don't think that, they don't know the terrible moments that women can pass in parties or in any places. Men, they don't know that. So I don't need male in that part. For that, female is the best. But I think male can have a balance in other things, because women, we are more like, well, I am more like, more like, I want this and that. And they're more like calm. So they help me also to focus.
So I know today you have a team of about 12,
right? Yeah, 12.
Can you talk a bit about what it was like with your first hire?
Oh, yeah.
And this is going back to 2015 again, right?
It was horrible because, well, no, it was in 2016 because I started alone. When I started, I was a buyer. I was a distributor, I have in English.
Distributor, yeah.
Yeah, that, the sales manager, the marketing manager, the and financial and everything. So when for 1 year and a half, I was alone, having my products and putting in stores, making all the invoices and having all that stuff. I make everything. Like, I have more than 15 functions in my company. So what happened? I was in a stress mode, very, very high, very hard, that I didn't know what to do because Sicureza was selling great. The demand of the products was very high. Everyone wants Sicureza, the product. This, you call it Sicureza. I need Sicureza. I didn't have stock.
So they associated Sicureza with this product, the invisible bra.
Because it was the first one, and only in 10 months, we only sell this one. So Sicureza. And nowadays, when you want a Sicureza, you are talking about this. I need my Sicureza. It's amazing that. Wow. And I was in a very difficult moment, so I have to take a decision. Start alone because I have a mindset, and it is important to say, I think that I can everything alone. I think that I was a superwoman, that nobody can help me because nobody will make it like I will. So I was with a selfish, very selfish and mind, because I didn't believe in no one, in anyone, because I think that nobody will have that same effort and the same passion and the same commitment to my company. So I was like refused to hire someone. Huh. It was amazing because I have the money, I have everything, but I didn't want to hire. And I cried, I have stress, I went to the hospital and so much time because I didn't want to have in my mind that I had, that was the moment, 1 year and a half later, that I have to hire someone. If not, I will die soon because all the work I have, because I don't manage one store. I was managing like more than 25 stores.
25 stores. So these were 25 store
partners.
So you were selling to these stores and you were having to deliver.
And I was the driver. I was everything. I made a campaign. I was a Facebook manager, community manager. He made everything.
Wow.
Though I don't know how I make that thing. Only 1 year I have working and selling very, very great numbers. So I talked with one friend that for me is very important, and I cried to him and I said, I don't know what to do because Sicureza like this, but I hate this and I have time. And he's like, but you have to hire someone. It's so easy. But no hire? No. I don't want to hire no one. I want a partner because I want someone that can work with me like the same with like me and have the same commitment. If not, I don't want to hire someone.
Yeah.
And she told me, Ileana, that is the last thing you have to do. Have a partner is the most difficult decision you have to make. And right now, before you have hired someone and you can look if he or her can help you, and it's not so difficult decision to have a partner to give your actions, your things, your company to someone that you don't know. Mm. Are you crazy? Mm. And he helped me to change my mind. And I don't lose anyone, anything. I thought that, I don't know, that internship or that person that will work with me will broke my business. I don't know what happened in my mind. But he helped me to look it that positive way. And he or her will help me in the operation things that for me was the most difficult. Not difficult, but take more time.
Yeah, it sounds like this was a very stressful time in your life.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, like, what was the reaction from your family and your other friends? Because I'm sure they must have noticed that you were running around and you were taking care of all the responsibilities.
And nobody understands me. Nobody understood me. Nobody. I all the time, like, feel alone. Hmm. Because, for my parents, for my family there, my mother is, like, an artist, chef. Nobody business, no. And my father was like a general manager in a company, but he isn't. He's not an entrepreneur. He's only a corporate
manager
that grow in a company. But so he don't understand. It's always, I don't know, Ileana. So if you can't work in another company and sell Sicureza, was like that. It's
that was his response?
Yeah. It's difficult to say, but yeah. If you can do it, if you're crying, okay, please, shut down your business. Like, okay, so I feel alone.
Huh. Interesting that that was the reaction from, I mean, it's a very practical response, right? It's like, if you don't want to deal with it, then get rid of it, right? Yeah,
because on my in that moment, only my answer was, it's everything wrong. I don't know what to do because I didn't want to look to the answer that was hire someone, and my father don't have patience, so he's very practical. You know? Oh yeah. So that in me, I'm very competitive. So when he answered that, I say, okay, like I have to do it.
Yeah.
So I think
you got to prove him wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Is that what you felt? You felt like you had to demonstrate to your dad that you could, in fact, do it?
Exactly. And I think many years I've worked a lot, very hard to prove my dad.
Yeah.
That I can do it better because my first month, I sell something like, I don't remember, my first month, maybe I sell like $3,000, like $10,000. That my first month, I was working in another company. So for me, it was like, wow. So I didn't make anything, was only alone. And he told me, but you don't live with that money. It's not too much. I don't know, but it's my first month, though. I don't know.
So that's what your dad said to you.
Yeah,
he said, you can't live on
that. Okay, I wanted him to congratulate me. Like, your first month? Great! Your first month?
Yeah.
And he didn't. So
go ahead.
So for me, it was, okay. I cry because, like, my motivation was here, so they got down. Or, I think it's not too much. I will duplicate next month. And that was me. So I take it positive all the time.
Huh.
I didn't want that, like, dismotivate myself. So yeah. I take it all the time, like, in a positive way. So the next month, I have, like, right now, like, 20,000 soles. It's, like, the double. And he told me, yeah, but you can do more. So I was like that.
But it was a slightly different response from your dad, right? It wasn't so dismissive like the first one, right? It was it's better, but you can do higher.
Yeah.
How about today? Has your dad changed his perspective on Sicurezza?
I know. I'm sure he's proud of me. Because, right now we have grown more. But I don't talk too much in numbers on things with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm cool right now. But when I need some suggestions or opinions or take these very difficult decisions, I take his time to help me. But only in very
specific moments. Yeah. And so I'm sure on one hand he must feel proud, right?
Yeah, I inside of him, he's very proud that he don't want to elevate my ego. He thinks that when he congratulate me and say it's great, I will feel wow. But no, I only want my father feel proud of me, but I wanted to tell me.
Yeah.
But I think he's waiting to have an empire, I don't know, so he finally can say me something like
that. And then he can say it was his idea, right?
Yeah. <All along. laughs> Finally, Bud, I have worried a lot, so you can tell me these.
We'll be right back. Hey, Andrew here again, and if you are enjoying this kind of content, you can find more of it on Patreon. That's at www.patreon.com/planetarypotential. Check it out. There are extended interviews and other exclusive bonus content that's only available there. Thanks very much. And we're back.
I want to focus on China for a bit. So you had sourced some of these invisible bras already. So you had some contacts in China before you went.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you follow up with those contacts initially, or because you went to this fair, you had access to a whole bunch more contacts, and then you took the time there to kind of sniff them out to see if they could be able to fulfill your specifications?
Well, the first thing I wanted to do when I get China was to visit my actual, in that moment, suppliers. Mm-hmm. And I communicate with them. That was one of the first things I wanted to do. And the second was to know new suppliers. I don't know, better ones, better quality, I don't know. So in the fair, I found very, very good suppliers. So I visit in that moment, actual suppliers, and also visit all factories of new future yeah. suppliers. And it was great because I know it was a factory or no,
yeah.
How they work, who was a manager. I wanted to know with whom I was working.
What was that like when you met your initial suppliers or actual suppliers?
That's very beautiful. These suppliers that work with so many companies around the world, because they are like factories, mm-hmm. they are very kind people. So the smile, the vibes, the positive vibes, I love it very much. So I think the first reception with them, with everyone, with every supplier, was amazing. So I have that great experience. But when you buy in the streets or people that you don't know and they don't know you, it's horrible experience with people.
So you were communicating with them, I imagine, on WeChat? Or how were you communicating
well,
with your
yeah,
suppliers?
I have WeChat, yeah, but I try to make the conversation in WhatsApp.
In WhatsApp,
yeah, and
okay.
Every and important things by mail. But I think WhatsApp is my first communication way.
And I know, of course, voice notes are very popular. So are
yeah.
you using voice notes to communicate back and forth?
I talk little things, but when they talk, I don't understand them.
Mm.
It's very difficult to understand Chinese English. So it's more like writing text.
To verify
yeah.
that.
And when I talk in voice note, they only say, what a nice voice. But they don't answer me anything about that voice. Like, they're like, I don't know, they don't concentrate. So I prefer like writing.
So you'll say something to them, and their response will be to compliment
yeah,
you.
My friend, what a great voice. Like, yeah, and we change that conversation. And it's funny.
So I know when you go to China, you have to transit through New York, right?
Yes.
And then from there, it's about a 16-hour
yeah,
flight.
It's the worst flight ever. It's horrible.
It is a long flight.
I think that's the worst part of China, the airplane.
Oh, getting there.
Yes, getting there.
Wondering what your impression of Shanghai and Shenzhen is, because you've been going now for 4 years, right?
Yeah.
And I assume when you first went, it was kind of disorienting. Everything is mega size. Why was that?
Well, the first moment I went to China, I wanted to cry. It was horrible for me. I didn't get used to China the first 3 days. The food was horrible. The people, I didn't like the people. I think that they only think in themselves. So I wanted to talk, but I couldn't communicate with anyone because their English was very horrible, or they didn't speak English. So for me, the experience was, I don't like it. I don't pass any bad thing, but I don't feel comfortable in China. The first thing,
first few days of the first trip?
The first trip, I went with my mom.
Mm.
And I was my mom was better, but I also feel uncomfortable. But she helped me to, Ileana, you have to learn that there are other cultures very different than yours. That the food, maybe you can don't like it, but you have to learn about this and live. You're here, so have to enjoy and enjoy anymore. I was 3 weeks in China. It's my third day, and I want to go return to Lima. It was horrible.
But I'm sure
horrible.
You've had some experience, because there's a Chinese community here, right? And there's chifas here.
No, but chifa in Peru, in Lima, it's amazing. I love it. It's very delicious, but in China it's horrible. I didn't like it. I don't know. I didn't like China in that moment. Right
uh-huh.
now I love it because I have to. I don't know. I have to get used to it in a good way or in a bad way. I prefer in that good way.
Sure.
So
sure.
My mom helped me to in 1 minute to another change my mind
uh-huh.
and make the things positive, my mind positive, and I start enjoying a little bit.
I always like to give interviewees an opportunity towards the end of the conversation to talk about anything I haven't asked. So that includes anything about yourself, about Sicurezza, about Lima, Peru, or even if you want to share something like what's the best advice that you received. This is your opportunity to talk pretty much open-ended.
Well, I don't know. I tell you all my plans. I am very competitive and ambitious. And my mission in this life is to change and transform women's wellness. And I will create maybe more brands focusing only on women because I think we are the future. And I am very girl power. I am very like empower women. I think one of my roles in this life, one of my goals, is to inspire other women to make their dreams come true. And I think everything is possible in this life if you are committed with your stuff and working with passion and believing in yourself and in your company or startup. I think it's the only thing you need to build an empire if you want. So I think everything is in yourself. And I don't know any people that's listening to me right now believe in you, so you can make big, very big stuff.
Yeah, well, certainly your drive came through the conversation as well as your competitive nature. Thank you for sharing your insight about how you started Sicurezza and for opening up about some of the challenges. I really appreciated the fact that you talked about how it impacted your mental health and you were struggling to find ways to keep it going as a one-person show and realized that you had to expand to where you are today. Your future plans, of course, sound very exciting, so we're definitely going to keep following the progress of Sicurezza. And thank you for your time. So until next time, take care.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Andrew, and hope you have a great, great experience in Peru.
Thank you.
What a fun interview. Ileana was incredibly forthcoming about her views on a variety of themes, and I appreciated her candor. Thank you, Ileana. I hope you'll join me next week when we sit down with the portfolio manager of a firm that specializes in helping social enterprises in the Andean region. As always, thank you for listening.